Good morning. It's Gina Crash. I'm very excited to introduce you to our guest this morning, Janice Miller. She's the Director of Programs and Clinical Services at House of Ruth, Maryland. Welcome back. It's nice to see you, Janice.
It's nice to see you too, Gina. Thanks for having us.
It's always important for people to know where you are, what you do, and that the fact that you're here during National Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, which is the month of February, so that's good timing. It's not just Valentine's Week, but if people aren't as familiar with you and House of Ruth, Maryland, please enlighten us. Let us know how long you've been there, and let's let them know.
Sure. So House of Ruth, Maryland has been in existence for a little over 40 years, and we provide comprehensive intimate partner violence services. Intimate partner violence is better known as domestic violence, but we do use the term intimate partner because it implies that there's some kind of relationship there beyond just friends or siblings. And the services that we provide include a 24-hour hotline, outreach out into the community. We have a food pantry available in Baltimore County and in Highlandtown for victims. We provide service coordination for victims who are trying to figure out how to access all of those social services and improve their basic needs, a 24-hour shelter program for victims who are in the highest level of danger, and then also rapid rehousing services to help those victims and survivors get back out into the community safely. We provide individual and group counseling for adults and for children, as well as adults with children. And we provide abuse intervention programming, both in English and in Spanish. It's 28-week programs focused on increasing knowledge around healthy relationships, as well as understanding in the impact of domestic violence and taking responsibility for the actions that you've taken.
And do you get the ball rolling if somebody is in need of your services? Is the best bet to start with the hotline? And then I know that your facilities are confidentially located, right, for safety?
Yes. I did forget to mention that we also have legal services, and those are available as a walk-in basis in the courthouses, Hyattsville, Montgomery County, as well as downtown in Baltimore District Court. So those you can just walk into those sites. And for other services, most people just do call our 24-hour hotline. That's 410-889-7884. And a trained counselor will answer the phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we'll talk to you about what your situation is. You don't have to say who you are unless you want to. And they can also guide you on what services are available in the organization and also what might be of interest to you out in the community to connect you with.
That's great. So that's staffed by your staffers 24 hours a day. And are most of your staff people who have some experience themselves with domestic partner violence or are just clinically trained like that, or kind of a combination of the two?
So there's no requirement that somebody come into our organization knowing about intimate partner violence. Some individuals who work for us do have a past history of being victims or survivors themselves, and some are just really interested in creating a world where violence doesn't exist and relationships are healthy. And I think that really that sort of speaks to how we are going to eventually end intimate partner violence, right?
That's the goal, right? Yep. Yeah.
Because if it can't just be an issue that is relevant to people who are either victims or perpetrators, it has to be an issue that is relevant to the entire community.
That's true.
And when the community stands up and says, intimate partner violence is not okay, and you don't have to live this way, and here's where you can go for help, then we start to move the needle on really changing those attitudes and beliefs that support violence.
That's so important. The conversation, making it part of the conversation. I know it's sensitive and some people are a little less forthcoming about maybe what's going on in their personal lives, but it's certainly going to help others and help the people who need it. Is that something you've noticed? Has that gotten a little better? That conversation is a little more open? How long have you been at House of Ruth under your current job, or even in general, like that you've seen, like from your experience at House of Ruth, how has it changed a little bit for the better, or where do we still need to get to, that kind of thing?
Sure. Well, it's hard to believe, Gina, but I've been at House of Ruth for 20 years.
What? Really?
Really?
No way.
I've been in my current role since 2010.
Wow.
Overseeing the victim service programming. But back when I started, I do believe that we were a little bit further behind than where we are today. Mm-hmm. What's really heartening about today is that most people do seem to understand that domestic violence is not okay. And they do, but they're not really sure sort of what to do after that point. So they can recognize domestic violence. They might be able to understand that it makes them uncomfortable, that they don't want to be that way. We understand in the 21st century that most men are not abusive and don't want to be abusive, but we don't really know how to intervene when we see domestic violence happening.
Right. You feel like it's their business I don't want to get involved, or there's this sense
that, you know, I am concerned about this person because they appear to be being abused, or I really don't like the behavior that my friend is exhibiting. It seems to be controlling, but they're not really sure whether or not they should say something. If they did say something, how would they say something, and what would happen?
Right, would
if
they still be
said,
friends?
Yes, this is what's happening.
Right, and how would you respond to them? Well, I think if somebody were in that situation, they could certainly point someone in the direction of House of Ruth, Maryland.
Absolutely, and that's the one single best thing that someone can do is to say, hey, are you okay? And if somebody says, no, I'm really not okay, say, well, there's this organization, House of Ruth, Maryland. They have a 24-hour hotline, and they would be able to talk with you. I can make the call with you if you want.
And when you were talking about how to kind of define violence like that, I think is a good time to bring in February being National Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, because teens can be vulnerable at times. Also, one thing that might have changed in your experience with House of Ruth is technology. We're texting a lot more. There's social media. We can get ourselves into trouble. So that's important. And how long have you guys been highlighting that? Is this the first year you've done that? Or is it something you always do in February? Or how long has that been, you know, a national month? But this is really important awareness months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, so one thing that House of Ruth has done for well over a decade is provide presentations out into the community on what is teen dating violence and also how individuals can understand more about the issue of domestic violence in general. We do have a training institute that can provide both professional trainings as well as community presentations on domestic violence, including teen dating violence. The emphasis this year on teen dating violence is really sort of, you know, it's heartening that the media is picking up and really showing a more interest and focus in issues like stalking and teen dating violence. And I think that that sort of speaks to the national climate moving more toward an understanding that these issues exist and are really, really important to the people who are experiencing them and to healthy communities. And that's why it's so important that we educate our young people about what healthy relationships are, because they are typically on different social media streams than parents and adults are on.
Right. We're talking more Snapchat and Insta stories and things that are quick.
Exactly.
What is the current statistic for three girls? You know, one in three girls, is that still the case in the U.S., will be a victim of physical, emotional, or verbal abuse from a dating partner?
Yes. Yes. So what we've been used to quoting is one in four women will be assaulted in their lifetime. And what we really understand now is that the statistic is actually closer to one in three women who have disclosed sexual or domestic violence in their lifetime. And that's pretty staggering if you think about it.
It is. And other facts, too. It's true that children who grow up in a violent household have more chance, you know, a greater chance of being an abuser themselves. And that's as high as 70%.
That is correct. Yes. So research has shown that 70% of perpetrators indicated that they grew up in an abusive household. And so they're particularly risk, those boys who are growing up in those households and seeing intimate partner violence play out. And that's partly because those are their male role models. And so if the role model that they're looking at is the guy is the one who controls and abuses the woman, then that is what children learn growing up.
Yep.
And so that's how you get to those statistics where one in three women end up being a victim and up to 70% of abusers grew up in a home.
What are some of those warning signs we should recognize as not being okay?
Yeah, I think particularly when you're talking about teen relationships, they can seem a little bit over the top or obsessive.
Mm-hmm.
Teens have very strong feelings, and they oftentimes feel like they're on top of the world or they're in the depths of despair. And I think adults also do this, but we learn to hide that a little bit from from others. But teens are less likely to hide those feelings from others. So it can be hard for an adult or even a friend to really recognize what's happening in the relationship. Other issues are that teens are constantly on their phones. They're constantly on social media. So it's really hard to understand whether or not they're being stalked or feel like they can't or pressured or can't not answer the call from their partner. Or is that just normal teen behavior?
Right, because they don't really talk on the phone.
Exactly.
So is it just a lot of texting just to get a hold
exactly.
of each other?
So whereas a parent or an adult might think that 400 text messages is excessive, that may just be the normal set of text messages that your teenager is getting
right.
on a regular basis. So some of the things that we look for are changes in behavior in your teenager, right? And also friends. So also for friends of teenagers, right?
Right.
So if your friend or your daughter or your son is suddenly spending a whole lot more time than they used to, on social media, or they feel like they can't put the phone down. They absolutely have to answer that message. If they become anxious or seem worried if they're not answering those messages, if they are suddenly changing key things about their personality, they stop doing activities that they are really interested in, or pick up new activities that are much more aligned with their partner, mm-hmm. their dating partner. And they feel very defensive when questioned about these things. Those might be signs that there's some control going on in the relationship, some coercion going on in the relationship. One of the things that abusive partners do is try to isolate victims from their friends and family, because then they won't have anyone to go to when they are being controlled or abused by the partner. Another warning sign is to look for, in particular looking for in your dating partner relationships, is those backhand or negative compliments, sometimes known as negging, where the partner will say something like, oh, you know, your hair looks really good today. I think it would look a whole lot better if you wore it this way. So it sounds like a compliment, but it's inside that compliment is a negative attribution and a suggestion to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And when that's the kind of thing that happens over and over and over again, that's really a
that sounds manipulative.
A warning sign. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good advice. So that controlling behavior, explosive temper, that kind of thing that you would recognize. So how can we stop that trend and help people start getting help and not allowing our kids or ourselves to be treated that way?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is really just being able to recognize that it's intimate partner violence. So if you happen to be with your friends in high school and you watch, you know, let's say the one partner slam their fist into the locker next to the head of the other person, of your friend, then that's really a warning sign, that mm-hmm. explosive temper. So in that situation, one partner hasn't actually touched the other partner, but they're clearly exhibiting threatening behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing is recognize what it is that you're seeing. Recognize the control. Recognize the isolation. Recognize the explosive behavior that's leading up to violence.
So whether you witness that as a fellow student or a parent, maybe an after-school behavior, if they happen to be hanging out at the house or something,
right.
Definitely pay attention to that.
Right. So teachers could look for things like, this person is always hanging around, or my student seems very anxious if I say they should stay after, and they keep citing this partner as somebody who they have to go see them, or they have to talk to them.
Right. There's an urgency to get there instead of what they're supposed to be doing for school. Now, I know House of Ruth Maryland offers training to youth-serving professionals in the area. So how do you tell us about all the great things you're doing, providing them with those tools to help the people that they're serving, and how do they get involved in doing that? There's a teen out there that wants to help. Can they do that as well?
Sure. So the second thing that we want folks to be able to do after they recognize teen dating violence as it is to really be able to effectively respond to mm-hmm. teen dating violence. And so there's a couple of different ways that you can do that. On the individual level, you could call our 24-hour hotline and you could talk to a counselor about, how might I respond to my friend who I think is in this abusive relationship? On the more group level, you know, our training institute does provide those community education sessions and educational presentations and trainings on teen dating violence.
So can a teacher just call that might be listening to this program, for instance, that wants to bring that into the classroom to educate their students? Can they do that simply with a phone call?
Yes, absolutely. Call our 24-hour hotline. They'll connect you with our training institute. Or you could go to our website, www.hruth.org. And look for the training link, and then you can fill out a training request, and someone will get back to you and talk to you about the specifics of what it is that you'd like to be trained.
That's great work that you're doing. Wow, that's awesome. And so teens and youth are together with the House of Ruth Maryland. They're, you know, serving professionals. They can come up with a plan that makes sense for them. So the best way to get the ball rolling is through that hotline, and make sure if you suspect that you might need to address some of those behaviors and in the classroom or beyond, you know. So that's great.
Right. So again, so once you've recognized that it's IPV and then you know how to respond to that IPV, we want folks to refer those victims to our 24-hour hotline.
Gotcha. And IPV again is
Intimate Partner Violence
with its own acronym. That's good. And hruth.org definitely is a wealth of information on your website confidentially. And the hotline again is at 410-889-7884.
That's correct.
I've memorized it. That's good. So we mentioned the 24-hour hotline, which is an amazing resource with House of Ruth Maryland. So take us through, Janice, and we're talking to Janice Miller, the Director of Programs and Clinical Services. Take us through like a phone call if somebody were to decide that they needed to see if something was qualified as intimate partner violence or not.
Sure.
What will they experience when they call that number?
Absolutely. So the first thing that's going to happen is that we're going to greet somebody warmly and just check to see if someone is safe. And I think sometimes people don't call us because they think, well, this isn't domestic violence or this isn't serious enough and I don't need to call a hotline. But we are there to answer questions for somebody who feels like they're just being emotionally abused or verbally abused, all the way up to someone who's being pretty severely physically abused. We are also there for friends and family. So the first thing that our counselors are going to do is determine what is going on that has caused you to call today. And so if you, Gina, called our hotline, then we would go through that process and we would check your safety. And if we determine that you were a victim, then we would start to ask questions about what's happening in the relationship and what is it that you're looking for from us today. And so maybe you're just looking for information. We'll talk about the dynamics of domestic violence. We'll talk about safety planning, how you can stay safe. We'll give you information on what options are available to you so that should you decide to follow up on those in the future, you have a better understanding of what you could take part in. And then if you're interested in specific services like counseling or talking to one of our attorneys, or maybe you're in such a serious situation that you need shelter, then we're going to connect you directly with those programs so that you can be screened and or talk to somebody from those programs immediately. Now, if you're a friend or a family, we may also invite you to participate in a friends or family group or send out a packet of information that can help you to determine how you can best engage your teen or the person who's experiencing that violence and how you can be the most support possible. One of the things we really try to emphasize for friends and family is that it is more helpful to approach the situation as, I want to see you in a healthy relationship. I am very concerned about your safety, than it is to say to someone, I don't like that what he's doing to you. I think you should leave.
Right.
And anyone who's ever talked to a teenager knows that if you tell a teenager that you don't like their relationship, it just makes that relationship much more interesting to them, particularly if a parent says, I don't like that person you're dating.
Right.
So it's really, really important that we try to stay away from those judgments about the partner and focus on what we would like to see for the person that we care about. Be in a healthy relationship and be safe while you're in that relationship.
Right. Like you had mentioned, that it kind of can sort of create a wedge between the parents and the child if you're, you know, being negative about that. So it might further isolate them. And they'll rely on that relationship that much more if they don't have, you know, one or both parents, you know, supporting it. Or,
exactly.
You know, but if you go about it in a way that you want them to be happy, you're like, I just want to make sure everything's okay and it's healthy and, you know.
Right.
And not like, you must stop seeing this person immediately.
Right.
Because then it's like, you want what you can't have. So you're going to be like, well, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to do it in spite of that, you know, more likely to do that if they told you not to do it.
Yes. And the thing about teenagers as well is that oftentimes adults feel like teenagers really aren't listening to them.
Right.
But teenagers do listen. They listen to the adults who matter in their life. So they listen to coaches, they listen to teachers, and they listen to parents. They just don't always show that they're listening. So if you, as the adult, in the supportive adult in that teen's life, are talking about what a healthy relationship looks like, what respectful love looks like, teenagers are listening. Mm-hmm. And they're going to compare that version that the supportive adult is presenting to the version that of the relationship that they're in, so that they can make their own informed choices about whether or not that's a good relationship or a bad relationship.
But you really are helping, especially through February, we're shining that light on National Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, that it can start as early as then the abuse.
Yes.
And recognizing that early is going to help kind of change that pattern of violence and the conversation and about, you know, making people aware that they need to be in healthy relationships. I know that House of Ruth Maryland is leading that fight to end violence against women and their children by confronting those attitudes and behaviors and systems that perpetrate it. Your work is never done, Janice Miller. I know that. But has it gotten any better, or how can we help get on board with that? I think everybody can be vigilant, and maybe, you know, what can we do as just ordinary citizens to help end that perpetration of making it okay to act that way?
Absolutely. You know? So I think, and if everybody has a way that they can help to stop intimate partner violence, sexual violence, and dating violence. And one great way to do that, or to figure out like what is your way, is to just visit our website. So www.hruth.org, and you can find information about what intimate partner violence is, find information about services that might be available for yourself or for somebody that you know, find information about how to go to a training and get more involved, and then also figure out how you might be able to volunteer or donate to the cause. Aside from all of that, the one single greatest thing that people can do is just ask the question. Just ask. Ask your friend or family member, are you okay? Are you being hurt? And say, I am concerned about you. And when you see somebody who's starting to exhibit that controlling behavior, just say, hey, you know, I really don't like how you talk to your partner in that situation. Or that's not okay. Don't say things like that. When we can confront our friends and family in a very non-threatening kind of way.
Like, I want to help. Yeah.
Like, you want to help.
I want you to be in a healthy
exactly.
relationship.
And when we can model for our young people what respectful and healthy relationships look like, then we move the needle toward not having to deal so much with this issue of intimate partner violence.
And what are some other ways, too, that you guys are raising awareness? I know you partner with WMAR a lot doing your... you know, collecting items for the shelter and things like that. And then you have some signature events and fundraisers and things. Where are we in the calendar as far as that goes? What are some things this year that, you know, you want to highlight that you're doing that kind of also raises the public's awareness of what House of Ruth Maryland does? I know every time you're, you know, doing things like that, it definitely draws attention to where those supplies are going and how that can help folks and how they can participate in that.
Absolutely. So our next big fundraiser that's coming up is our spring luncheon event. That's April 25th.
Oh, cool.
That is a great event this year. Our featured speaker is Megan Toohey. She was the speaker who broke the Me Too story.
Yeah. Oh,
and
that's huge.
She'll be our speaker at Spring Luncheon. So that's one way that people could both donate money to the cause and have an interesting afternoon as well.
Yeah, have a conversation. Mm-hmm. That's great. It's not unusual for local restaurants, businesses, organizations, and to partner with you and have a portion of the proceeds benefit House of Ruth Maryland, depending on what they're doing on their calendars. But is that something that people can get involved with through the website as well? And by contacting you about how if they want to do a fundraiser like that, or if someone's hearing this program and hearing all the great services that you provide and want to get involved with helping, how can they do that?
Yeah. So if they want to participate in one of the events that we have set up already, or they have an event in mind that they would like to do, that can both be accessed through our website. They can fill out a form saying what is that they'd like to do a sponsored event, or they could just fill out a form saying they'd like to talk to somebody from our development or community relations folks to figure out how they might be able to do that. Whether
great.
It's a drive or a donation drive, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's great. And likewise, if they want to make a donation or help find out about volunteer opportunities through any nonprofit, the best bet is to go, again, through the website.
Exactly.
And see what you could do. And what else do you have planned for National Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month? Anything else you want people to know this month in particular that we can do? A good reminder to sort of take away from this interview. What do you most want people to know and be aware about?
Sure. So February is a great month for Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. Valentine's Day is right in the middle of it.
That's right.
And when we think about Valentine's Day, we often think about romantic love. And the problem with a lot of movies that are geared toward teenagers in particular is this idea that someone pursues you and you don't necessarily want them to pursue you at first, but then in the end, you end up loving the person who pursued you. And so this whole narrative can evoke very strong, the whole narrative can move very quickly into a scenario of stalking and feeling like stalking is romantic love, but that is not romantic love.
Right.
And one of the best things that we can do for teenagers is to help them understand the difference between what is fantasy or fiction and fictionalized representation on social media and movies, and what is reality, what does healthy love look like, what does respectful love look like, that it's okay to set boundaries. You know, talking with your teens about how to set boundaries, about how to say to someone, maybe, you know, I'm really, really busy this week and I'm really concentrating on my schoolwork. And I would really appreciate it if we could just limit our conversations to after school for the next couple
yeah, until
of weeks.
I have my
exactly.
big exam or whatever,
exactly.
I get through this project or something. And that's okay.
Yes, it's okay to set those limits. But then it's also important to just pay attention and see, does the person respect the limit that you set? Because if the person is going to start calling you in the morning and calling you while you're at school and expecting a response after you have set a limit, then you have to wonder whether or not they're going to respect
any other thing you ask them not to do. Yeah,
exactly.
That's true. That's very important. Yeah.
And I do think that, you know, that's really what's the next step in moving the needle on those attitudes and behavior changes is how do we portray? And you can see in some of popular media, you can see some narratives where one partner is really, really drunk and the other partner says that they don't want to go any further. with that relationship until they're sober? Or if you're at a party and you see that someone is drinking and then they start to come on to you romantically, do you say, aha, well, we should move forward? Or, you know, what we're seeing more and more is folks saying, no, I don't want to move forward because you're not really sober. You really can't make those decisions right now.
That's important.
And that's a really respectful kind of way mm-hmm. to portray a relationship that can actually deepen the intimacy between people because they feel like, oh, well, you respected me enough to make sure that this is what I really wanted to do.
Right, so you didn't take advantage of me.
Exactly. And those are the kinds of messages that our teens really need to see played out on the big screen, on small screen.
And well, thank you so much, Janice Miller. We could just talk to you all day because you have such a wealth of knowledge and you're helping so many people every day. Director of Programs and Clinical Services for House of Ruth Maryland. Thank you so much for taking the time and open invitation for you to come back anytime, whether it's National Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month or not. Your message is always an important one. And thank you for being here for people every day.
Thanks, Gina. We appreciate you having us.
Awesome. We love to shine the spotlight on the work of our nonprofits here in Baltimore. I am Gina Crash. You can reach out on social media at Gina Crash if you want to get more information about House of Ruth Maryland, hruth.org. You can find them online and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well. And thank you for listening. This has been a production of Entercom Baltimore.